Blog Talk Radio.
Men and women of the United States Armed Forces, the men and women of Police and Fire Services, by Dr. Kathleen Carroll, a board-certified psychiatrist in private practice since 2003. Dr. Carroll previously was Director of Inpatient Services at the Bay Pine VA Hospital and the Bay Pine VA Medical Center. Dr. Carroll specializes in the treatment of children, six and older, and the treatment of adults, in other words, from pediatric to the geriatric. She's also an all-time triathlete. I can help you if you're having a problem breaking through the next level of athletes. If you want to give her a call, that area code is 813-689-2466, or you can reach her at 336 East Bloomingdale Avenue in Brandon, Florida. Well, guys, it's been another great week. Good to have you.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Okay. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we're here. How you guys doing this week?
Doing good.
Good. Yeah, we had a pretty eventful week starting with last Saturday, but boxing's been pretty eventful this week, actually.
Yeah, very. The I guess with Klevekin having his big debut in America, taking down... Was that Osama Adama?
Oh, that was Golovkin.
Golovkin, rather.
Golovkin was fighting Adama. And one thing about Golovkin, that fight was off American TV. And so one of the reasons why is because Golovkin, he makes his mandatories, which is why he's one guy who's basically you'll see fighting four times a year. You know, he'll take the big TV fights, but he also will fight off America. He'll fight out of America as well. and take his mandatory. So he was fighting a Dem of the day. And I don't know the results of that fight as of yet. I'm assuming, is it over or?
No, it's still going on.
Yet. Okay, still going on?
Yeah.
So that's going on. So we'll find out what, you know, what happens with that. But, yeah, you know, Golovkin fights everybody. So that's one of the things he's got going on. Actually, he TKO'd a Dem in seven. It's first time a Dem has been stopped.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they. I was just getting the. For some reason, our computers here have been all screwed up all day, and I'm just getting some of these results now. Yeah, he stopped him in the seventh or eighth round. Said he really pummeled him.
Well, Demo was, you know, he was a French contender. He was like 25-3 with like 16 knockouts going on. He had lost every time he had kind of stepped up to that level. He had fought Daniel Gale before Gale had lost his title, and he lost to Daniel Gale in 12 rounds. One thing about Adam is he just typically doesn't do enough to win at that level, but he had never been stopped. And so the real big question, obviously, with the left field was whether he was going to be able to stop him or not. Is Vito here? Is he with us?
Yeah, I'm right here. It's going to be interesting because Cotto's moving up to the middleweight division, and his face-off with Sergio Martinez, they're going to line that up for a big-money fight with Golovkin. Me personally, Golovkin's a dangerous fighter for either one of those two. He's dangerous for anybody right now. I could see him moving up in weight pretty soon because the middleweight right now, it doesn't warrant enough competition for him. So,
you know, talking about competition, have you seen anything on this new boxing reality show that's supposed to be coming out of Vegas? It's called Knockout. It's Ricardo Mayorga and Floyd Mayweather Sr., Yoel Joda, and Ruben Guerrero are some of the people that are going to be in it. I guess it's going to be hosted by Mayorga and Mayweather. I just can't believe that's a reality, but it's coming. It's going to start May 17th.
Yeah, that figures to be a reality show, especially with the Mayweathers and Yoel Joda as far as their history, you know, back when Floyd Mayweather and Zab Joda fought.
Right. It looked like Victor Ortiz had a rough going this week, huh?
To have a rough going, you actually have to have a going. He never got going. So he came out of a bundle of nervous energy. And, you know, Victor Ortiz, he makes the same mistakes he's always made. He has a tendency to square up and, you know, attack with his hands down, thinking offense, not being cognizant of defense. He did so against Collazo. The thought here, the thought going in was that Collazo was good enough to make him pay to possibly win a decision. But no one had seen, you know, Collazo being good enough with firepower, with power, to be able to do what he did to Victor Ortiz. He clipped him in the second round. Ortiz went down. There's some speculation as to whether Ortiz could have got up. He was definitely dazed. He was definitely hurt. But you remember when Tyson knocked down Trevor Burbick and Burbick was dazed and hurt? He was funny. It was funny because he kept trying to get up.
Right.
Victor Ortiz never made an attempt. Now, a lot of people have questioned Ortiz's mental fortitude in the ring. And this to me looked like a case where once he got caught, once he got hit and hurt, not saying he would have continued in any shape, but he really never made a solid attempt to get up. He kind of accepted his fate. And that's been a problem with Victor Ortiz his whole career.
Yeah, there's no speculation on my end that he could have got up. But to be honest, I thought Luis Collazo would win the fight, to be honest. Ty, you and I had the conversation before.
And you said you were leaning towards Collazo right before the fight.
Yeah. And I was leaning toward Collazo in a late stoppage. Just because I thought Collazo was a good enough technical boxer to to take advantage of Ortiz, and he's tough enough to survive. When Shane Mosley moved up to welterweight, he fought Collazo, and you know he beat Collazo, but Collazo kind of warred with him, and that level of boxer is going to take advantage of Ortiz, and he's going to take advantage of Ortiz's toughness also, being as though Collazo is a tough fighter. One thing you want to teach a boxer also technically is when you throw your left hook, you want to put your right glove as an earmuff. Just because the right glove, it shields not only your face, your forearm sort of shields your chin to where when you throw it, you know, the only place that left hook is going to hit is the right side of your face. Mm-hmm. So, and Victor Ortiz, as you said, Todd, a nervous bundle of energy.
The other thing really, really horribly askew with his technique that you mentioned, and you're absolutely right, when you throw a left hook, you want to put your guard. Victor Ortiz's problem was he's a southpaw. And so he threw a left hook. He threw a left hook as a southpaw because he's squared up. So now he can square it up in front of his opponent. So he throws a left hook. The left hook misses. He brings it back and goes to throw a right hook because, again, he's really a southpaw. He has to square up to throw the left hook. So now he's squared up. He goes to throw the right hook, but he never brings his left hand back from throwing the left hook. And so Collazo just caught him with a short right hook right in between that foolishness of technique. And that was essentially it. But, again, I think more people have speculated, and Zito obviously has not even speculated, just out and out stating it, that Victor Ortiz, once he was clipped, he kind of mentally packed it in. Not saying he wasn't hurt, but mentally he was a beaten fighter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he's quick to accept his fate.
Which is one thing I always remember. Do you guys remember? Well, I don't have to ask Zito, but you remember Isaiah Thomas, the great Pistons point guard.
Sure, sure.
Isaiah Thomas had a rap about being a really sore loser. And one thing I always remember saying, he said, find me a sore loser who isn't a good winner. He goes, guys that accept losing too easily are more apt to do it. And it's funny, you're right. Victor Ortiz does accept his fate pretty well. Well, he's had the same fate in his last three fights, stoppage losses. So he may have to look at the fates of his career. Right now, at the age of 27 years old, he could be becoming a spent bullet, kind of a lot like a guy I always compared him to, Fernando Vargas, whose career was essentially over by 28.
Yeah.
What do you think about Collazo calling out Mayweather?
Well, he's not going to get that fight, but he's supposed to. what is he supposed to do? He, like, there was no way he needs to go ahead and have the biggest, really biggest win of his career and call out Sean Porter. You got to call out whether you get the fight or not, you call out the lottery ticket.
Yeah.
Especially when you just had a big win in this weight class.
Right, right. Well, how about the Minnesota Department of Labor overthrowing the or nullifying the Mendez-Bartholomew match from the 3rd?
Yeah, they made the fight a no contest.
Yeah.
So Mendez actually retains the title. The IBF is ordering a rematch. I disagree with that. I disagree with that because there was no – even though it was obviously the right call in a sense, I don't think the title should have changed hands. Though the referee made a mistake, there was no official foul in the ring. I mean, it was all this happened weeks later. And so – I personally think the title should have stayed with Bartholomew, and it should have just been an automatic rematch. Or else the title upheld an automatic rematch. Personally, I think it should have stayed with Bartholomew. But, you know, the rematch needs to happen. It does. I think it's fair to Mendez, even though I think Mendez was in trouble in that. Well, he was definitely in trouble in that fight. But at the same time, I don't think it's necessarily right to penalize the fighter for the referee there.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah, and also I think the problem with this is to relate it to football. It's like there's no flag on the play, but then you can take it back to the commissioner, and now it's reversed. you know, a victory is reversed. So
that's exactly, I think, the best way to express it. Like, there was no flag on the play. I mean, we clearly saw that it wasn't done by the rules. We clearly saw that the fighter, not through his error, but he inadvertently, you know, disobeyed the rules, but it was because the official wasn't where he was supposed to be. The fighter was doing what a fighter's supposed to do. So I don't know. I find it a little touchy. I think not saying that Mendez lost fairly, but he was getting beat up at the time. I just think you make the rematch, but you don't change the title. That's just my opinion. Because there was nothing in the ring call.
And, you know, all the bad decisions that you have, all the other ref errors that aren't overturned, this doesn't make sense. You can overturn so much more. You can have rematches on so much more.
0832.
Now, the one thing I will say.
347-202. Right.
The one thing I will say is if you call a fight a no contest, then obviously the title goes back to its original status. So, and that was their ruling, no contest. I would have just ordered the mandatory rematch.
2-0-2.
That's tough.
Bartholomew's not happy with it either.
No, he has a right not to be.
Yeah. So what did you think about Lamont Peterson and Derry Jean fight?
One thing Lamont Peterson said, going into the fight, Derry Jean said that he was going to make Lamont Peterson have nightmares of the Lucas Matisse fight. And one thing Lamont Peterson said is different at this level. And he proved it. And what you saw was Derry Jean, who's 31 years old, with actually a lot of talent, but has never been at that level. And
kind of like an
Asamanu Adama, who fought the Golovkin today, he has some good skill, but he can't maintain it on that level, for 12 consistent rounds. And that's why guys like that get beat. Like, there were times where Zito, Jean looked real good, but he couldn't maintain it. And Peterson, you better get him in three. Like Matisse said, you better get him early, because from that point on, he's a grinder. He's a grinder. He was grinding.
New
Derry Jean.
Guys, we're joined by the new Ray Robinson.
Hey, how you guys doing?
What's
we're
up,
doing
man?
Great.
Good, man.
Yeah, how's it going, Ray?
Good. Long time no speak. Man, been a while.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. What you been up to?
Just training, man. Same old stuff, training. Got the exciting phone call. I'm getting a fight February 1st, so I'm happy about that.
No, February 27th.
So
February 27th.
Who's this fight you got coming up at the end of this month? Who is, if you are fighting?
Who I'm fighting?
Yes.
That's what you said?
Yes,
I do not know how to pronounce his name. He is Russian.
Oh, that's right. You're fighting an undefeated Russian guy, right?
Yeah, he's 25-0, so I know that much. I actually just got done looking at some tape on him and, doing my homework.
Mm-hmm. How many knockouts does he have?
He's not a big power puncher. He got 7 knockouts.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. But I'm the type of fighter, I don't think no one liked me, so in my head, he's 25-0 with 25 knockouts.
Well, you know what? There was the one Russian guy, the one who beat Billy Dibb, Evgeny Gravenevich. He was 18-0 with 8 knockouts. And, one thing, Ray, I love that you're doing, and I mentioned this on the show last week, just watching tape on the guy. Because one thing about these undefeated Russians, when they come over, they're not like I said last week, an undefeated guy from Oklahoma or an undefeated guy from Iowa. You know what I mean? Yeah, they're coming like you with a pretty good amateur pedigree. So, does he seem to have pretty good fundamental skills from what you said?
Honestly, he got a good jab. He makes a lot of mistakes. I don't feel like his speed is there, but it just I feel like right now I'm so focused. I can fight whoever. I'm in my eyes, I'm on a mission. It's just that simple.
Hey.
And you know, I just got to basically just, you know, whatever his mistake is, I just got to, you know, cobble it and do my job and counter punch and, you know, do what I do best and just the sweet signs of hit, not get hit.
It's okay.
Right, since we last talked to you, one of your former foes has collected a strap, a guy you gave a really tough fight to, Sean Porter. What do you think of his performance against Devin Alexander? And all of a sudden, you kind of being catapulted back because you gave him one of his tougher fights.
Yeah, I thought he did what he's supposed to do. I thought that he went in there with a game plan, and it worked out for him. So I thought he did a good job. He applied pressure to Devin, made Devin really uncomfortable, and it worked out in his favor.
He mauled Devin.
What could Devin have done to offset that, from your opinion? It was the same problem Devin ran into when he fought a guy you know pretty well, Tim Bradley. How would a guy like you offset that style? Because both guys are at your weight division. Both guys have straps, so they're guys you'd be looking for. How would you deal with that?
I feel like Devin really didn't use his jab as much to keep the distance between that. And I feel like everyone don't do this no more. I feel like this is like old school, something it's a basic move, but something I still do. It's feints. I feel like no one feints anymore. And that feint is like a punch. A feint kind of keeps you distance or let you kind of see what the guy's going to throw. So
it also throws off your opponent's timing.
Yeah. So I feel like that's what, you know, he was just trying to crowd Devin and, you know, flush him out of the, you know, just putting pressure on him, you know what I mean, making him panic. And no one used their feet anymore. Everyone's, you know, you hit me and then I hit you back. Like, no one used their feet anymore. So I don't know. But I'm happy for Sean Porter. He did what he's supposed to do, and he got the win, so good.
Good. How's the new gym coming along?
The new gym is good. I just celebrated in January. We just celebrated my first year of anniversary of me being there, having my own gym, so that was good.
Hey, congratulations.
Thank you. So that was really good. And just me staying in shape since my last fight, since the Raynor fight, I stayed in shape. I know it's starting to sound like a broken record, but it's a good broken record because it's just
good
me saying
record.
I'm staying in shape. So I really am that I love to do. So when I got the phone call from Dave Tiberi, he was just like, hey, Ray, you know, we got this fight. I'm like, okay, great. I don't got to hit the panic button. I don't got to got all this down or I got to get in shape. I can just go right in and work on what I'm supposed to work on, that's such as boxing, counterpunching, power, like things like that. I don't got to worry about my weight because I don't got to get on a diet because I eat the right things now. You know, I eat healthy. I eat, you know, I put the right fluids back in my body and things like that. So me staying in shape, I feel like really been helping me out. I feel like I've been getting better since the Raynor fight, you know, the fight before Raynor, stayed in shape. So each fight I'm getting better. I feel like I'm getting stronger. And I'm going to get that, you know, the veteran type of style. Like even if I get you hurt or whatever, I can see me thinking in there and I'm getting more comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I know for me, I don't call Raynor anymore. He's just Gnar. You keep the Ray out of him. You walk away. The only one of us could be Ray. So.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah, I know.
That's
there
what it
we
is.
Go.
You beat the tar out of Gnar, so I can't call him Ray anymore.
There we go.
Obviously, this opponent you have, he's undefeated, so I would assume that your title is at stake. Is there anything else at stake? Maybe an eliminator? Or are you getting closer towards the eliminator for a major title, quite possibly? Because you're constantly winning and moving up the ranks at this point.
Yeah, actually, right now this fight is for the NABO title.
So you get a chance to collect another strap.
Yeah, I'm ready. This will be my fourth one, and, you know, obviously they can't keep denying me if I keep winning and collecting and moving up in rankings, and that's what I want to do. And I really mean it, man. I'm on a mission. I just got my eyes forward. I got the vision, the tunnel vision of just me staying focused and me staying in shape. And I'm at a point right now that I don't care who they put it in. This guy can be 25-0 or 0-25. I'm training the exact same way, and I'm working hard, and I'm just dedicated to my craft. I actually love staying in shape now, and I love eating the right things, and I love my job. How about that? I love doing what I do.
There you go.
Ray, what's it like being a young veteran? Because that's what you sound like now. You sound like a veteran, but you're still, like, in the midst of your prime, just approaching your prime. So how do you think that benefits you mentally?
It just, honestly, it just, I feel like it's something like you wake up and you just, you get tired of being overweight. You get tired. Like, you know, I study and I listen to Bernard, you know. I'm not one of them young. I'm like a. I'm still like a young fighter. Man, I'm like a sponge, man. When I listen to Floyd and Bernard and them talk, and them guys is up in age, like Don Hopkins, man. And he, I feel like he does it by him just staying in shape. He don't, you know, he let these young guys that get out of shape to go party. They do what they gotta do. He's in the gym working hard, you know. So, you know, he's already in camp. You know, just like any like football, basketball, they gotta go to a camp before their season starts. Bernard's already in camp, you know, before his season starts. So that's what I feel like, that's what I'm doing now. I'm just staying in shape, man. And, you know, if I ever get blessed for, like, a short term, someone just call me 2 weeks or 3 weeks, hey, I need you to fill in, I would be able to do it. You know, this is probably my first time. Actually, I cut very little. I started my training camp only 7 pounds overweight. It just,
wow.
You know, yeah, I'm just eating right, man. It just... And it's a different kind of training. It's not the type of training like I'm not more. It's me, you know, going for a run, me eating the way I eat, and you know what I mean? It's just that simple. Now, when you get that phone call, it's a different kind of training. You know, you get that, you know, that angry type of beast mode. It's like, all right, now it's, you know what I mean? It's time to go to war. It's work time now. You know, you run a little bit harder. You run a little bit faster. You train harder. So it's different. So I make sure I don't run myself into the ground. But I just make sure I live right and eat right and just stay near my weight like I'm supposed to, like a professional.
And then so when the fight comes, it's just a matter of turning up the intensity as opposed to having to rebuild the wheel.
Absolutely. That's it, man. I'm just, you know, I'm just like a nice car, man. I'm just keeping it warmed up.
The first thing Ray said was you get tired of being out of shape. And I think somewhere in Mexico, Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. is screaming, blasphemy, blasphemy.
Right. Giving you pre-benefit for the victory, is there any specific opponent that you're looking for next?
Honestly, I keep I never try to jump opponents. I've seen a lot of people do that and they make mistakes. So right now I got my eye on this guy that's in front of me. And, I mean, that's all I concentrate on. Like that's, I dream about this guy. I daydream about him. I mean, that's all I see in my vision of him right now. And then after the win, then I feel like as I get this next, you know, belt, I got another target on my head that I got to train even harder and I got to make sure I stay on my game. So right now it's just him in my head.
Speaking of your weight class and fights, what did you think of Victor Ortiz and Luis Collazo? Was that predictable to you or?
Oh, man, I wanted Victor Ortiz, man. You know, and it sucked too, though, because it's gonna sound like, oh, you wanted Victor Ortiz because he just got knocked out. I've been saying I wanted that fight forever. You know, I really felt like I could be on the levels with these guys, man. It's just, you
right,
know,
right.
I guess you can say something. I believe in myself, but I really do feel like I'm on a different level, man, on with training-wise. And I feel like I can hold my own with these guys, you know. And
well,
I just want my shot.
Experience Ray Robinson, who fought at a weight class that wasn't his own, gave Sean Porter a better fight than Devin Alexander did.
Thanks, man. Thanks for saying that. I definitely feel like I matured a lot from that fight. I'm a whole different fighter. I'm a whole way different fighter. It'd be night and day fighting-wise. I'm talking about the smarts, power, speed. Just me being what you said, a veteran now. So, you know, different fight. So, but I thought the guy did good. I thought Ortiz, you know, he came in with the you gotta want to do this. You gotta have that heart. It just is what it is. I just think that, you know what I mean, Victor. I wasn't in his spots, in his shoes. I can't say that. Oh, he could have got up. I don't know that. But I damn sure know for a fact I would have tried and fell on my face, and I would have been okay with that.
Yeah, see, I think that's the thing that most are speculating on. It's not that he would have been able to get up, but he didn't attempt to get up.
Uh-huh. And you just got to have that in your heart. And, you know,
yeah.
You just gotta want to do it. You just gotta know that it's like I'm willing to risk everything. Like in my eyes right now, man, every fight is a game changer. Every fight is a life changer. So in my eyes, I'm on a mission. So you literally gonna have to put me on my face, and I'm still gonna be kicking and moving. You know what I mean? It is what it is. Every fighter's gonna get caught. Like I'm in it. It's just football. Every football player gonna get tackled. So every boxer going to get hit. It's just what happens after you get hit. Like, you know, man, like everybody got a plan until they get punched in the mouth. Like, what you going to do after you get punched in the mouth? You know what I mean? It's up to you. You're going to put your feet in the ground and say, all right, let's work time then. You know, it's just that simple. You got to have that in your heart. You can't teach that. It's just something you can't teach. I can teach you a jab. I can teach you how to get faster and power. You can't teach heart. And it's just that. You got to have that.
And that's what makes a special fighter.
Absolutely, I agree.
Hey, Ray, why don't you, since we're going to have the boys are going to come down for the fight, why don't you tell our listeners here, again, and we have a lot of listeners down in the Delaware area, Pennsylvania, Delaware, and Maryland area, give them a rundown of the fight, the date that's going to be. We know it's at Dover Downs.
Okay.
And,
It's going to be February 21st at Dover Downs in the casino. It's going to be a lot of fireworks, man. This guy, we fighting for the NABO title. Get us ranked number 10 in the world. So you know, it's just something to look forward to, man. You don't want to hear about it. You don't look at it on YouTube. You want to be there. You want the sweat to jump on you, and you want to talk to your friends about it. It's gonna be good. It's gonna be. I believe they got two title fights. I'm fighting for a title, and another guy fighting for a title, and we got about five or six other undercards under that. So it's gonna be a good fight, man. So I hope, you know, I feel like Delaware really took this like my second home. You know, they accepted me with open arms. I love fighting down there now. I never fought in Delaware. I never fought in that casino, Dover Downs yet. I know my big brother, he fought down there, Mirror Mansour. Yeah. He fought down there a couple of times. So, you know, I'm excited to fight down there and make my debut down there. It's going to be real exciting.
Yeah, since you brought him, I was going to ask you about, I know Cornelius Locke is also one of the undercards. He's fighting for one of the top featherweight titles. NABA,
yeah, he's fighting for the title. There we go. Yeah, I couldn't think of the name.
And then Joey Tabiri, Omar Douglas, and Anthony Miller are all going to be fighting. But you just brought up another name that is near and dear to Ty's heart, Mr. Mansour. And how'd he do in Atlantic City the last time he was down there?
He did a great job. I feel like he fought uphill. He had to fight uphill. He fought a big guy, man. He fought a giant. He fought a tall guy, but he chopped down that tree. And I feel like he got better and he got stronger each round. And I thought he looked it good. And one thing about, you know, Amir is that man can punch. So, so he did his job. He did what he's supposed to do. He looked it good doing it. So I was real happy for him. That's like my big brother. So
there you go. And everybody should know that it is being put on February 21st. It's at Dover Downs. The fight card probably starts around 6, is it, the undercard?
6:30, something like that,
Yep, and it's Dover Downs, for those of you who are local, it does have an excellent buffet, has an excellent room to watch the fight in, and some of the best fighters that you'll see locally. Without having to drive 100 miles down to Atlantic City or maybe 85 to 100 miles up to the casino up in Bethlehem.
Butch, the first thing you mentioned is the damn buffet.
That's right. That's right.
you
got
the damn buffet.
That's right. Well, look, what do you want to say? The parking the parking is exclusive? Come on, get the crowd in there.
You got to go there.
We got to get the fans to know, man. You can I think he hit on the nose. We got to get the fans go down there and let them know that they can get their belly full with some good food and then look at some fights.
Right.
We don't like good food. So
sure,
come on down, get the good food
in
and look at some fights.
Great buffet. By the way, catch a fight.
That's right. Hey, look, take a plate in with you. Watch the fight while you're eating. Get back to the buffet, for Christ's sake.
There you
go.
You already won me over. Yeah, fuck that.
Yeah. Well, Ray, we want to thank you again for being such a great guest. And, yeah, we know we the boys will be there ringside. If there's any possible way I can get up there, we will. That's right.
There we go. As soon as I hear it out the crowd, I know it's you. You don't always call me like that, man, so it's perfect the way you call me. I know I zone out. I know it's you.
Hey, baby.
There you go.
But thank you guys for having me. I appreciate it. I want to thank Champ's management and my managers and them for having me, Dave Hubbard. I want to thank you guys. I appreciate it.
Great. Well, thanks
again.
Thanks
for being a friend of the show, Ray. We really appreciate and support you, man.
That's right.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Anything you need.
I really do appreciate the support, and, you know, you guys always having me on, showing me a good time. I appreciate it.
And when you take this Russian down, we're going to – the next time you come on after you beat this Russian, we're going to have Kate Smith sing the God Bless America.
Wow. There we go. That's what I like to hear. And I would be in the background waving the flag.
I'll get a tape of it for the guys to bring with them to the fight.
There we go.
That's great. Okay, Ray, thanks a lot. We appreciate
it. All right, see you guys. Have a good one. All right, bye.
I've been trying to get a hold of Joey Tiberi offline, but I haven't been able to connect with him. But, you know, I was talking about the other casino. Mike Tyson announced yesterday that he's going to be doing monthly boxing series at the Sands up in Bethlehem. And they're going to call it the KO Kings of, what the hell is it? The, of town. The KO Kings of town. So, that's
yeah, I did read that Mike had signed a deal to do the monthly, the boxing series. And you know what? Since Mike has put on his promoter hat, it's kept him pretty busy. And he's moved into that. He's transitioned into that to this point pretty well. He's put on a couple good shows on ESPN. So congratulations to Mike. And plus, again, with Mike's celebrity, where he goes, cameras follow. So, you know, he's getting just a lot of boxers who wouldn't get publicity, you know. So, just kind of like 50 Cent, you know. I don't think much of him as a promoter as of yet. His fighters keep losing.
Yeah.
But he constantly keeps his fighters in the spotlight. Even Yoriel Gamboa, who hadn't fought in a while, got a lot of publicity being at the Mikey Garcia fight for being a potential opponent for Mikey Garcia. So,
Yeah, Mike Tyson is good. He's got a second life, apparently, and he's doing positive things. And it's good to see Mike Tyson, you know, seemingly on the right track, and I hope he stays that way.
One thing I was going to say I always sensed about Mike Tyson. Mike Tyson is a raving lunatic, you know, when he gets going, we know that. But I always thought the guy had a good heart. And with the promotional woes he had in his career and the amount of money he made and lost, who better? Mm-hmm. Who better, seriously, to if their heart is right, to have a fighter's interest in their heart than Mike Tyson?
Mm-hmm.
Who's been at the top and been at the bottom. So, I mean, he knows the boxing game inside and out. And you know what, guys? He knew it before he went in because of the way he studied and watched those tapes that Customato gave him. So, truly, Mike Tyson, believe it or not, with Angelo Dundee gone and Emmanuel Stewart gone, Mike Tyson is one of the most knowledgeable people on the planet about boxing, period, right now as we speak.
Right. And you talked about Danny Garcia. He signed a fight in March against Torreira in Puerto Rico. But also on that card is going to be Deontay Wilder against Malik Scott and Manuel Lopez against Ponce de Leon.
Mauricio Herrera is a gatekeeper sort of fighter. He's not necessarily a top-ranked fighter. He's not an elite fighter. Let me put it that way. He's a quality, good fighter. The one thing Mauricio Herrera has, though, is he has a 10-round draw that would run Pradvanikov, who, you know, we speak about highly on the show. He was mentioned as an opponent for Pacquiao. He's the one who took Tim Bradley to hell and back, and he's the one who just beat the hell out of Alvarado. So Herrera has those type of skills. He's really not that elite level. And obviously with the fight being in Puerto Rico, this is more of a kind of a showcase bout for Danny Garcia. And I think he deserves it. He's been on a pretty tough run of competition. And I think it was obvious when he didn't get the Floyd Mayweather fight, Golden Boy Promotions was wanting to capitalize, primarily off his victory over Matisse. And I think they realize that they have a guy who's beaten some quality foes now. Danny Garcia is probably the most underestimated fighter in boxing. And if he were to fight somebody, I would probably pick against him right now. Just because you see how he should lose, but he always finds a way to win. Kind of like Tim Bradley was when he was the 140-pound champion. So I think I like what they're doing with Danny Garcia's career. And I think it's good to give him a showcase fight because Danny Garcia could be that star that Golden Boy wasn't necessarily looking for. They were, putting their apples in the Abner Maris cart. But it could be Danny Garcia who could be their new Golden Boy, so to speak. So why not? Mm-hmm.
I think the more interesting fight is Ponce de Leon against Juan Manuel Lopez.
Mm-hmm. The funny thing is, if that fight were made 4 years ago, you'd say Lopez is going to blow him out because that's the kind of damage he was doing. Right now, that fight is – I could see Lopez winning. I could see him getting knocked out.
Yeah.
But also, again, Deontay Wilder, Malik Scott, so – I think that's that's a good card. And you know what?
Yes.
When you have that kind of support, you can have Danny Garcia headline with Mauricio Herrera. Herrera is a quality enough foe to fight Danny Garcia, but when you have that type of support with Malik Scott and Deontay Wilder and De Leon and Lopez, that can easily be your main event. Problem I have with the upcoming Pacquiao-Bradley card, the undercard, it's not a great undercard. It could be competitive fights. Competitive fights. But it's not a great undercard at all.
And that's notorious for Pacquiao fights.
There's a lot of question as to will that fight be sold out? Because exactly what you just said. The undercard isn't worthy of spending that kind of money to go to see it or to put it on Showtime.
And everyone, the Pacquiao-Tim Bradley fight, Tim Bradley's not going to gross a whole lot of money or interest in it, so.
Right.
Speaking of Tim Bradley, one of the things that happened earlier this week, and it was, it was pretty surprising to a lot of boxing insiders, was that Tim Bradley signed a contract extension with Top Rank. The reason why that was surprising is Tim Bradley made no bones about it that he would love to have that Mayweather fight, so obviously he can't do that under the Top Rank banner. He only had a fight or two before his contract was up, so he could have very well been out of his contract by the end of the year, thus the opportunity to pursue more lucrative fights with a deeper stable of talent over at Golden Boy. Golden Boy basically has the deeper, more talented pool between 140 and 147, which is what Tim Bradley's fighting at, campaigning at. Right now for Tim Bradley, what it is a rematch with Pacquiao. It'd be a rematch with Provendikov or a rematch with Marquez. Those are basically his options as far as top-tier talent in a top-ranked stable. So a lot of people found it really surprising that he signed the contract extension. Obviously, he has to do his best for his family. He said Top Rank gave him everything he wanted. But to you guys, to you particularly, do you think that it was a bad deal? Do you think it would have made more sense to hold out and at least see what Golden Boy was going to offer? Because Tim Bradley's a major player in the pound-for-pound rankings. He has a victory over Marquez. He has a quote-unquote victory over Pacquiao. He probably could have been positioned very easily for a Mayweather fight had he signed with Golden Boy. Do you think he should have at least, weighed his options?
To be honest, he could have, but it depends with, his business relation with Golden Boy and Arab. Tim Bradley, he strikes me as a smart guy, and he's going to have a management team that's going to make, wise decisions that he should be on top of. He has his father also, so he's not alone in this. As far as, brain decisions, mental decisions, and business decisions, his interest. With that being said, I'm just a particular fan of always weighing your options before anything. Not saying that I wouldn't have taken it, because to be honest, I can see exactly why I took it. Top Rank, they're the biggest show in town right now. So, and then in Golden Boy. So, mm-hmm. I mean, it's you know.
Golden Boy, obviously, it's obvious. It's beyond obvious that Golden Boy has, you know, more lucrative opportunities for him just in the vast amount of numbers they have as far as fighters. So, to me, it would have behooved him to weigh that option. With that said, I'm not in that man's head. I don't know his family situation. And he said Top Rank gave me everything I wanted. Don't know what everything was. But it could have been something that he felt, you know, this is the best deal for me and my family. And also, we don't know how long that contract extension is. So, you know, maybe the contract extension lasts 2 years. Who knows? And then he's thinking I could go and get a fighter. Who knows? But like you said, I'm always a fan of weighing your options. And especially from a legacy standpoint, from a fighting the best standpoint, even from a financial standpoint, he's got the big fight with Pacquiao. That's his big moneymaker. He's going to make less money with Marquez, even less with Provennikov. Even though, you know, those will make money. Over at Golden Boy, not only do you have the brass ring, the big lottery ticket of Floyd Mayweather, but then you would have Garcia and Matisse and Madonna and Broner. I mean, there's just money to be made all around. So it would be curious to hear Tim Bradley explain why, not why he made the decision to sign, but why he felt there was no need to at least wait the contract out and see what Golden Boy had to offer.
Well, you know, you never know how. I mean, he could have came at Top Rank thinking that, you know, he wanted 10, and, you know, before negotiations, they offered 20.
Yeah, exactly. So you never know.
So, I mean, he's going to take that and run with it. I cannot blame him for.
And at the same time, you know, Tim Bradley was with the Beller, I believe he was with the Beller, Gary Shaw. And so remember when he was out for a while, when he was the 140-pound champion, when everybody wanted him to fight Amir Khan, and he signed with Top Rank. Top Rank has built Bradley into what Bradley is today. So, you know what, just kind of like maybe Miguel Cotto, there's also a certain loyalty. Miguel Cotto has grown to where he could be a promotional free agent, but, you know, he continues to work with Top Rank. So, again, maybe there's a certain loyalty, too, to the company that built him. Who knows?
Mm-hmm. The other one that I thought was hilarious this week was Freddie Roach coming out and saying that he thinks Amir Khan will be able to take Floyd Mayweather.
Out to dinner?
Fight.
I'm sorry.
In a fight, he says if they schedule a fight, Amir Khan will beat him.
He said that he thought Amir Khan was capable of pulling off the upset. Anybody who steps in that ring is capable of pulling off the upset. Anyone. You're in a game where one punch could end not only your night, but put out your lights for good. So anyone capable of stepping in that ring on that level is capable of pulling off the upset. Khan, especially, because he has some tools to trouble Floyd Mayweather. However, I think predictions on that fight would go one way. I'll just put it that way.
Yeah.
But that fight still has yet to be made, even though it definitely the writing is on the wall. Also, a fight that looks like it's being targeted down the road soon is Fury Chisora 2. They had one fight before. Chisora showed up grossly out of shape and just was outworked to a decision. Obviously, Chisora's turned a corner in his career as far as how seriously he's taking it.
Right.
And so there's big talk about that fight being made.
Yeah, I'm still not convinced with Chisora's stamina. I mean, he can be in shape and everything, but he throws the big punches, and I just don't know about that. I mean, his motor seems to run on angry, and angry burns out fast. To where Tyson Fury, he just has a high motor. Period. He just always seems to be hype. Even in the ring, he just seems to be hype.
You know, Tyson Fury has had some really crazy looking days in his career early on. I mean, he's a Tyson Fury of the one who punched himself in the face with an uppercut. I mean, blasted himself in the face with an uppercut. He didn't punch himself, blasted himself. That was the hardest he got hit that night.
And that's the one. Isn't he the one that sang to people in the ring too?
Yeah.
Yes, he is.
Yeah.
But I mean, even as a professional, early in Tyson's career, he had some really rough goings of it, and that was because he didn't take his career as a professional. He didn't take it seriously. Since Fury's taken his career seriously, he still has some gas in his technique, and there's still some things about him. But one thing you can't question, man, is this guy's fighting spirit. And this, and this guy's ability to want to learn and want to get better. Fury's only like 25 to 26 years old. Chisora, on the other hand, Chisora has rededicated himself. But even when I see Chisora now, there's a part of me that feels the best Chisora I've seen was the one that fought Vitaly and gave Vitaly that good fight. And to me, even though he's rededicated himself, he was somewhat tamed by David Haye. When David Haye knocked him out, it seemed like it chipped away at his veneer a little bit. So even though I see that same fire and that same passion, and I tell you, I love watching Chisora fight, because when you watch Chisora fight, first thing you say is Joe Frazier, because he comes in, he bobs his head. He doesn't let his hands go. And maybe it's because of what Bean said about the Stanley. He's capable of moving in on you for 12 rounds, but you can outwork him. He doesn't let his hands go enough. And he's still very vulnerable. And to me, again, ever since David Haye knocked him out, it seemed to take away a little of his bravado. Vito is very right in saying that Chisora fights, best when he's on angry. And since the Haye fight, he hasn't had that type of bravado. He's matured, obviously, and so that's one reason. But, again, I don't see the same tiger I saw in the ring. He's still ferocious. You're still going to have to work to beat him, which is why he was able to go in there and essentially walk through Malik Scott, though I thought it was an early stoppage. However, a few years ago, I would have said in this shape, Chisora can walk through Tyson Fury. Right now, I don't see him beating Tyson Fury. Tyson Fury's improved too much, and Fury, to me, has declined since the David Haye fight.
And David Haye, I mean, he's a sharper boxer than Fury. He's a sharper puncher, sharper boxer, but Fury is a bigger hitter, to point blank. I mean, he's a bigger man. He's a bigger hitter than David Haye.
And you know what? So here's the thing. Fury caught Chisora with some pretty good shots in the first fight. The biggest difference was because of Haye's speed, power, and technique, Chisora didn't see what he was getting caught with Dave. He could see what he was getting hit with Fury, and that was the difference, why he was able to stand up to the punches better. He was able to, obviously – brace for him a little bit better. With Haye, he got caught in between swinging, and that's always a recipe for disaster. And when he gets caught that clean, to me it took something away from him. So even though his record since the Haye fight and his performances since the Haye fight don't indicate at all what I'm saying, they don't corroborate what I'm saying at all. However, to me, within those performances, I don't see quite the same guy. Personally, the eye test to me tells me a little something different.
Well, and my thing is, one fighter's on the increase and the other fighter's on the decline, and especially after a knockout like that, you're going up against another guy who could potentially knock you out. That doesn't look good.
Right. Well, guys, we've come to the end of our hour here. Man, that was the fastest
hour.
Wow. And we had a great interview, I think, with Ray, and I want to thank Ray for coming on. I want to thank both you guys for coming on. We want to remind everybody that February 21st is a great buffet in Dover, Delaware.
If you're there enjoying the great buffet, why not catch a fight or two?
Catch a fight or two with Dave Tiberi's Champs Fighting Champs Promotions at the Dover Downs. Some fantastic fighters coming in for this fight, both locally and internationally. This should be a tremendous upgrade in fighting for Dover Downs and for the Champs sports. So that's February 21st at Dover Downs. Tremendous card coming on, and don't forget, with every buffet you get a free flight ticket. or maybe every fight you get a free. Well, I don't care. Doesn't make any difference. I'm not going to be there. You guys are going to be there. But okay, Ty, you want to lead us out?
Well, it's been a great show. Definitely want to thank the new Sugar Ray Robinson for joining us, our favorite fighter, along with Edna Cherry. We got tons of favorite fighters, don't we, Butch?
Yes, we do.
So we definitely want to thank him for joining us, and we wish him the best of luck. Look forward to seeing everyone next week. Bob is our co-pilot, see?
Yeah. I definitely want to thank you guys. This has been a wonderful show. I want to thank Ray and wish him good luck in his upcoming fight. These shows are definitely in memory of Bob, and if anyone wants to hear any fighting words, please do call. Butch?
Yes. I want to, again, I want to thank Ray for coming on. I want to thank both you guys for coming on. I did get a chance to talk to Edner just before showtime. He will be fighting in April up at Atlantic City. He doesn't have the opponent yet, but I'll be talking to him later on in the week, and we'll get him on again next week and tell us about where he's going. And we're also going to have Mr. Danny Batchelder, and he can tell us about all his wins down there in the casinos in Louisiana. So, ladies and gentlemen, these programs are brought to you each and every night of the week in grateful appreciation of the men and women of the United States Armed Forces, the men and women of Police and Fire Services. When you're out there and you see someone in uniform, just walk up and say thank you to them. It makes a world of difference to all of us. These programs are also dedicated to those who have lost their lives. Deputy Robert Anthony Carroll, Patrolman David Curtis, Patrolman Jeffrey Colcap, Sergeant Thomas Batinger, Patrolman Jeffrey Yazowitz, Patrolman David Crawford, Detective Randy Bell, Detective Ricky Childers, San Diego Officer Mike Hendler, Lieutenant Mike Zerba, Newcastle County Police, Patrolman Arnolfo Crispin, Lakeland PD, Patrol Deputy Barbara Pell, Broward County Sheriff's Office, Chief Al Hogle, Longboat Key Police Department, Chief Jimmy Ford, Wilmington Fire Department, Highway Patrolman Alonzo Moses, Philadelphia Highway Patrol, Highway Patrolman Brian Lazaro, Philadelphia Highway Patrol, Lieutenant Bob Neary, Philadelphia Fire Department, Deputy Chief Mike Godwin, Philadelphia Fire Department, MIT Officer Sean Collier, and Sergeant Mike Wilson, Charlotte County Sheriff's Office. And also, if you would keep in your prayers, a young lady, 11 years old, it's 11 years today, Carly Brucia was taken from the streets of Sarasota, brutally raped, sodomized, and killed. It was one of the toughest assignments I've ever had, but please keep her in your prayers. My brothers and sisters, until we meet again, you may be 10-7 at this point in time, but until you meet again, may the good Lord keep you and your families always in the hallow of his hands. Good night.
Shem alek ma yilama, shem ma hezah yilama, son ashen evorat fed, hakuig again ma yilama. Europe's fame, and proudly toast his noble fame, who stare at hand with mind aflame, towers and strength and length of days.
All units be advised, 1999 has responded to his last emergency. May God forgive his soul. Good night, Bob. We miss you. Good night, Frank. We love you.
Good night.